Who is the biggest provider of oil to the United States? It's Canada. And the tar sands in Canada's province of Alberta are the worst source of energy on the planet. Let me know that I've done wrong when I've known this all along. I go around a time or two just to waste my time with you. Tell me all that you've thrown away. Find out games you don't want to play. You are the only one that needs to know. I'll keep you my dirty little secret.
Hundreds of billions of dollars, the world's largest capital project, have built an industrial nightmare hidden in the Canadian North. The Earth's surface, up to 75 feet deep, is stripped away to expose a gooey mix of sand and oil. Just getting the oil out uses up most of Canada's new northern natural gas, a much cleaner fuel wasted for dirty oil. It takes still more chemicals and energy to get the oil oozing down pipelines to American refineries where more greenhouse gases are released. It takes at least one barrel of oil burned to make three, the most wasteful energy process on Earth. The U.S. group Environmental Defense launched a report February 2008 titled, Canada's Toxic Tar Sands, the Most Destructive Project on Earth. A whole range of activists, from Greenpeace to the Council of Canadians, is fighting to stop massive expansion of the tar sands. The major oil companies want to strip away the surface of the Earth in a patch the size of Florida. Can you believe that? They dump their toxic waste into giant man-made lakes, dangerously close to the mighty Athabasca River, and by that river to the sensitive Arctic. All told, the tar sands projects, led by the world's largest oil companies, create an octopus of toxic waste and global climate change. No one is exempt. I'm Alex Smith. In today's Radio EcoShock, you will hear three voices of sanity. Campaigners Jesse Tallman and Will Horter will explain the damage and threats to the Pacific coast. Even the Great Bear Rainforest is threatened by pipelines and tankers. But you will feel it most when you hear Mike Mercurdy, one of the Aboriginal victims of this industrial genocide in the North. The real price of oil in lives and futures lost. Tar Sands, The Dark Side of the Boom, recorded November 25, 2008 at the Heritage Hall in Vancouver. Our first speaker is Jesse Kalman, the Tar Sands campaigner with the Polaris Institute, on the social and environmental impacts of the tar sands.
Wow. Okay, I'd like to introduce the three panelists that we have here tonight. The first speaker will be Jesse Kalman, who's a tar sands campaigner with the Polaris Institute, and will be speaking about the social and environmental impacts of the tar sands, including links to the military and water depletion. The second speaker will be Mike Mercredi, member of the Athabasca Chippewyan First Nation, who will be speaking about the frontline struggles of the Indigenous community in Fort Chippewyan against the tar sands industry. Our third speaker will be Will Horter, who's the Executive Director of Dogwood Initiative, and will speak about the little-known support that infrastructure-based and proposed in BC provides to current and future tar sands development. So, Jesse?
So as mentioned, I'm Jesse Kalman. I work for the Polaris Institute. So I live in Ottawa and I work for the Polaris Institute. I'm originally from Calgary. I've only been in Ottawa for the past 6 years. And I've been working now for the Polaris Institute for the past two on this issue. It's something that I feel very strongly about. It's something that is very painful for me to talk about sometimes because of just how devastating it is. My first visit to the tar sands was about a year and a half ago. It's the first time I saw it up close, up personal. And we got a chance to fly over the tar sands. And flying over the tar sands, you saw the photos there, and you saw how big it is. But to really understand it, to fly over it, when you're 2 kilometers above it, and you look down and you see this massive expanse, and you look down and you see a black dot, and you wonder, what's that black dot? And you look a little closer, and you realize that that's the biggest truck in the world, is that little black dot below you. So that's how big we're looking at. In addition to that, this past year I got a chance to fly a lot closer and down and really see it up close and personal. And our pilot got really excited, and he actually dipped into one of the pits, and they set off flares to try and get us out of there. We were that close. And we got encompassed by the smell of this, the sickness that is coming off of these tar ponds. And for almost 48 hours, I had such bad vertigo and nausea that I couldn't walk in a straight line. That's just from breathing it in for a few minutes. That's how toxic this is. That's the size and the disaster that we're looking at, and that's what we're facing. As mentioned on the video, the tar sands is becoming increasingly one of the highest emitters of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. As long as we have the tar sands, we won't be able to meet Kyoto. We won't be able to reduce our climate change impacts in any way whatsoever because of them. Harper is actually protecting the tar sands, and if you read some of his policies, particularly the Turning the Corner plan, protect the tar sands and the industry from having to reduce their emissions while cutting emissions in other industries and making them pick up the slack. In addition to that, obviously we've seen the effects in terms of contamination on the water systems, but there's also huge amounts of water depletion. As mentioned on the video, it takes between 3 and 5 barrels of water to make a barrel of tar sands oil, which is even higher if it's the SAGD, which is the steam-assisted gravity drainage process. What we saw in there is the mining process. That water ends up purely in tailings ponds. It, at this point in time, there's no way to clean that water. It just sits there, and the ponds get bigger and bigger and bigger. One of the biggest man-made lakes in the world is one of the tailings ponds. It's only the only bigger thing than that is the Three Gorges Dam when it's finished. And these things sit right near the river. Some of those photos show you just how close they are to the river. If they breach that whole river system all the way through the Mackenzie Valley and the Mackenzie Valley watershed is completely destroyed. In terms of the water depletion, we're looking at a river system that can't keep up with what's going on there. The fish are dying from contamination, but will increasingly be dying from the lack of water and oxygen in the water, particularly in the winter during low flow. And now the Athabasca Glacier is melting, in part because of climate change, which the tar sands is partly responsible for. The water will eventually dry up. There will be no source water for the river, and it'll be left in that place when the companies decide to vacate. In terms of the social effects of the tar sands, Fort McMurray, which is the area where the tar sands are based, most of them anyways, is growing at such an alarming rate that the education system, the healthcare, housing can't keep up with the boom. There's huge social dislocation, people coming from the East Coast, people coming from Ontario looking for high-paying jobs. Often it's young males. The level of drug use, the level of prostitution in the region, the level of gambling is through the roof. Crime. I think it's something like $1,000 for a crappy little one-bedroom apartment in Fort McMurray. And we're talking about a small town. We're not talking about, a major city. In Alberta as well, homelessness and low-income issues in across the province have increased because of the huge amounts in rent increases, huge amounts in living cost increases caused by the boom. Now we're looking at economic downturn. People are losing their jobs, but the cost of living isn't going down as quickly. So homelessness is increasing even more. What we're seeing is that during a boom, we get homelessness, and during a bust, we get homelessness. The only people who benefit from the boom are the upper class, and the only people who can survive a bust without being severely hurt are the upper class. A lot of folks have said to me, well, it's really great that we see this economic downturn. The price of oil is going down so low that the tar sands aren't profitable anymore. And I say, yeah, for a short period of time. But in the meantime, all of those leases for the small little companies are being bought up by the big companies, by the ExxonMobils, by the Shells, by the Totals. So when all of the small little companies that are easier to fight leave the area, we'll be left with the giants. And they have a lot more sway and a lot more funds, and they can survive the downturn. In addition, as we've seen, there's a lot of manufacturing sectors, particularly in the east side of the country, that are suffering, but also in British Columbia, from the downturn. And a big part of the reason was because of the huge economic shift that occurred in Canada, focusing on Alberta. Alberta became the centerpiece of the new Harper government's economy. And in the meantime, he allowed other areas and other sectors to slowly waste away. Now with a downturn, they can't survive. So the only place in Canada that's really, really going to survive the economy in the long run without being scathed in some way is the tar sands. In Canada, we don't have an energy policy. There's no energy policy to ensure our long-term security needs. There's no pipelines even that move from west to east. So if say, the supplies get cut off in any way, the east side of the country is left in the dark. We've been proposing at Polaris, and many people have been calling for a green shift and just transition, shifting away from the tar sands, from the dirty industry, and shifting to more comprehensive integrated energy policy that not only deals with the communities downstream and the effects that they have to deal with, but also the workers, and shifting their skills towards hydropower, to small hydropower, not big hydropower. Make a distinction there. Geothermal, wind, and solar. We also want to see laws put into place, or in some cases deregulated, to allow for environmental innovation. What I mean by that is there's cases, a lot of them in the east that I've been dealing with, where people try and build solar or build wind on their land, and they may be in the country because you can't build it in many cities, and they try and sell back to the grid. Only the problem is that energy companies will require them to build the line to their house, pay $30,000, $40,000 to build the line. Then in order to sell back to the grid, they'll charge the person and say, you know what? Actually, we want to own that line, so we'll buy it from you for a dollar, and then you can sell your energy. That kind of legal, you know, bullshit basically prevents environmental innovation, and it prevents individuals from taking action on a personal level to stop this corporate domination of our energy systems. In addition to that, of course, we see that the oil companies, they receive tons of tax breaks. They have huge subsidies to keep themselves going. The energy industry in our country is one of the most highly subsidized industries in the world. So our environmental innovation can't compete. You know, other countries are supporting their environmental innovation. Instead, in Canada, we're trying to shut it down and keep it down. The last thing I want to cover just briefly is the military links between the tar sands and the military. The one major one is the Baghdad Berms Calgary Booms theory. I don't know if you all have heard this, but basically the reason that Calgary boomed and the tar sands boomed when it did was because of the Iraq war. Now, whether that was planned or not, stable oil supplies from the Middle East were cut off, and Alberta became the unclean source of energy for the American security and energy. In addition to that, the Pentagon and the military in the States consumes 85% of the total U.S. government's energy. That's 500,000 barrels of oil a day. And that energy is now going to be increasingly coming from the tar sands. Many have said that there's laws in the States that are there to prevent that from happening, but in reality, what those laws say is that the mixed oil is okay for consumption by U.S. government. So that mixed oil could be 50% bitumen or dirty oil and 50% conventional oil, and they can still consume it. As long as it's not 100% bitumen, they can consume it. So those laws are basically just there to make it look like they're making clean energy decisions. And they're now looking to up their shale in the States as well, which will just contribute to the dirty energy, and they're using technology from the tar sands. So we're hoping to illuminate all of these issues to people across the country. That's why we're going around doing this, with the hope that people will stand up and say, this is not okay, we don't want this, and we want these corporations, and we want this government out of here. So thanks, guys.
You've just listened to Jesse Kalman, the first of three speakers on The Tar Sands, The Dark Side of the Boom, recorded November 25, 2008, at the Heritage Hall in Vancouver by Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. Sponsors for the event included the Council of Canadians, QPBC, Greenpeace, Tar Sands Free BC, the Sierra Club, the Dogwood Initiative, the Institute for Citizen Journalism, Check Your Head, North Coast EnviroWatch, Western Wilderness Committee, and the Polaris Institute. You can download all three speakers from the Alternative Energy page at ecoshock.org.
The second speaker of the evening was Mike Mercury, a member of the Athabasca, Chipewyan First Nation, speaking about the frontline struggles of the Indigenous community in Fort Chipewyan against the tar sands industry, including a plague of tar sands-related cancer.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming out. And thank you for our supporters for having this and other people coming to do so. My name is Mike Mercury. I'm a member of the community of Fort Chip. And Fort Chip is what we're calling the ground zero. It's a sacrifice zone. A sacrifice zone for this oil to be produced. And from it extracts poison. Poison into the water, into the air, the land, the trees. Now the people. Now the people are dying. I buried my auntie just this year. I buried my uncle a couple years back. I got an auntie right now living with cancer. There's no known cancers in our family. Cancer doesn't exist in our family. Just in the last 15 years, all of a sudden cancer's popping up. But this is just not just my family. Although this is directly affected to me, which brings me here. And it's unfortunate that I have to be here. And I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here coming here to tell you that my people are dying. I shouldn't be here coming to tell you that I'm facing genocide. That your own countrymen are dying from this resource, this dark resource, this tar sands, this oil sands. It's a dark resource. It sits under our feet, and you want to come and extract it from under our feet. And it was time that was said that was a factor that grew this dark resource into a need. And this need has succumbed to the greed, man, money. It happens. They say this is how things go, and this is the economy. And it's a way of living. But just to let you know that way of living is a way for our people's way of dying. Having to bury your own for a resource so other people can make money is plain right out murder. Right out, I'm going to say it's murder. It's genocide. This is something that I got to come and tell you guys that why would a community first known in Alberta as being the oldest settlement in Alberta, which is what it was coined for in 1988 at its bicentennial. The next thing it's going to be known for is all the dead people in it, all the people that we're going to be burying. Just in January of this year, we buried one of our young guys. He was 28 years old, and he succumbed to this cancer. The cancers they're finding there can only be found in 1 in 100,000 people. There's only 1,200 people in my community. So far this year, 6 cases of this cancer. So when you're faced with death, when you're faced with possibly being killed off, the best thing you can do is spread a message and tell everyone else that we're facing this. I gotta come tell you that my people are facing death. This community is gonna be a dead zone. The water can't drink it no more. The animals, they can no longer consume them. The air, basically we're not gonna be able to breathe. And this, they're taking away, they're stripping from us our livelihood, our sustainability. That's infringement on our treaty rights. We have a right to health. We have a right to a healthy environment. And where are these rights going? And this is something that this country supports. This country supports that. Killing off its own countrymen. Killing off its own people. Its first people. A country should be proud of the first people. Because as of you all born of this country, call yourselves natives to this country. You're now native to Canada. Well, so am I. That doesn't make me no different than you. That I have to come here and tell you guys that we're burying each other. When I was a kid, it'd be maybe once a year, it'd be a death. And a person died from old age or something natural. Not 20 people a year. Not people younger than me. Not people who'll never grow old. Not people who will never get to see their children or their grandchildren grow. That should not be. Not in a country as diverse as Canada. When someone is faced with these kind of things, they'll do and say whatever they can. And all I can say is that this is an epidemic. This is something that, if we can't do something about this, then what good are we? What good is our country? What good is our voting system? What good is our democracy? We as people have choices. We have choices to make vote and vote our governments in. And yet, the same government is turning around and killing off its own people. Sacrificing them. For what? The good of the nation? The good of the planet? They keep doing this, and now with the event of global warming, now you're all affected. Now you're all going to be facing this. If that river was flowing south and it hit the city of Edmonton, the capital city of Alberta, it would be an epidemic. They'd be quarantined. They'll be seeing what is going on, what is killing our people. Now, why isn't they doing this for Fort Chip? Why do I got to come here and say these things? Come here to inform you. I shouldn't have to, but I am. It's unfortunately that I am here. And I appreciate the fact that the people are bringing me here to do so. Hopefully, that the people who are listening to this, an earshot of this, will understand and have some compassion for your own fellow human beings. Because it's not just Fort Chip that's going to face this. Pretty soon, all of you will be facing this. And if Fort Chip has to be the point where the stone hits the pond and it ripples out into the rest of the country, and hopefully that ripple will ripple into your hearts and you guys will say, hey, what's going on here? Why are we allowing this? Why are we allowing our own people to die? Because I'm no different than you. We may be of different colored skin, but under the skin, we all bleed red. Water is to the earth as blood is to us. Humans need blood to live. We all need these things. And if we're allowing our own selves to die, that means you're allowing your own selves to die. You're stripping your children's futures away by allowing this to happen. Your own children. We're buying and selling what we can now. They're not going to have that choice. They're not going to be allowed to have the luxuries we have now. There's an amount of time before that oil runs out. There's an amount of time before the water is gone. There's an amount of time before there's no more food on the table to eat. With global warming coming in and possible dredges, we'd be facing extinction. All humans. We're only so many plants away from our own extinction. Can't eat the animals anymore. They say when the animals start feeling the effects, we should wake up. We should wake up because the animals can't speak for themselves. If they could, they'd be crying. Fort Chip in the area is rich with the wildlife at one time. It was a good fur-bearing place. The muskrat was abundant there. The muskrat is a water animal. It lives and breathes in the water. There's no more muskrats there. Some of them had died off. Some of them who are still lived and can went to another area. They could be found up there, but they won't be found anywhere near that area where that water flows out of the tar sands. And now that if this animal, an animal this big, that wide, can get it, and go, pack up and leave and say, I don't want to be living around here because I need to sustain my own existence. Why can't we? When will we? Before it's too late? When it's knocking on your door saying, hey, guess what? If you don't turn up that heat or drive your car, you're going to die. I'm coming to get you. So think about these things when you leave here tonight, that this is what we face. It comes down to individual choice of what we can do to sustain our own countrymen, our own people, because we're no different. We may be labeled as different, but I don't see it different. You close the lights off, we're all breathing the same air. You put a knife through to us and cut, we're all going to bleed red. So you got to think about these things. And this is what we're facing, a slow industrial genocide. There's no other way I can put it, straight up murder. And as a human, I'll do what I can to survive. And if coming here, speaking, and hopefully influencing, and changing some of your minds just a little bit, just that little bit of thought, to change that thought, would make a difference. It'll make a difference when you tell someone who wasn't here what I heard, what you heard tonight, what's going on. This is happening. They're sugarcoating it into something that we think it's not. But to tell you, it's BS. Everything they say about it being, it's the reclaiming the land? No, they're not. The water is okay? No, it ain't. Is the air all right? I don't think so. Because if these things that we're consuming and living with is killing us, and you're telling us that it's okay, you might as well come put a gun to my head. A quick death would be a hell of a lot more easier than a slow, hard, painful death and a thing like cancer. So think about these things. Thank you.
That was Mike Mercury of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation speaking about the plague of cancers and other problems that have hit Fort Chipewyan since the installation of the tar sands.
Sponsors for the event included the Council of Canadians, QPBC, Greenpeace, Tar Sands Free BC, the Sierra Club, the Dogwood Initiative, the Institute for Citizen Journalism, Check Your Head, North Coast EnviroWatch, Western Wilderness Committee, and the Polaris Institute. You can download all three speakers from the Alternative Energy page at ecoshock.org. Broadcast on 16 stations in Canada and the United States. Going out over the world by satellite and cable, podcast and downloads, you've got Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Get tons of free MP3 downloads from our site at ecoshock.org. ECO, shock like an electric shock. It's radioactive.
The first angry rays of the sun pierced the lacy tops of Atlantic combers and touched thousands of sleeping Americans with unconscious fear.
America is addicted to oil.
Can we bring the troops home from Iraq? Can we fight off climate change? Surely we can find better sources of energy than wringing out the tarry soils of Canada. Now President Bush, in his dying days in office, has made regulations paving the way to treat the Rocky Mountains the same way. They call it oil shale, but it's oil madness. Big corporations want to mine out whole mountainsides, boil it up, and draw out the last drops of oil. They will leave devastated nature for their children. If Americans hope to stop this oil demon, they need to look north to Canada and watch closely. You can get online films about the tar sands on YouTube.com. Just look for tar sands at YouTube.com. Check out Greenpeace.ca and find great reports at Pembina.org. That's Pembina, P-E-M-B-I-N-A.org. Educate yourself, please, and then spread it to everyone you know. The American government says it won't burn tar sands oil, but as we just heard from Jesse Kalman, it's a fraud, greenwashing. In reality, the policy allows so-called mixed oils, so refineries can toss in a bit from other sources and call it tar sands free. Don't buy it. Every state and municipal government that cares about their climate and real green energy should be passing laws and bylaws and bypassing anything to do with the tar sands oil. Canadian banks are financing this nightmare. Everyone should pressure their bank to get out. Remove your funds to a credit union. Americans can call up Canadian-owned banks and branches like TD Ameritrade to protest funding the tar sands. And please, demand an end to obscene oil when the new Obama regime comes in. Mother Earth is being raped for short-sighted gains. We all know that. But the tar sands is the most vicious assault going on anywhere. Even the Stalinist toxic factories couldn't equal the tar sands wreckage. Canada will never reach greenhouse emissions cuts unless the whole population gives up oil, because the tar sands create so much pollution. That is one big reason why Canada lost its leadership position internationally when it comes to climate change. The big dirty secret is that Canada is hooked on oil and will do anything, anything to get it. When Radio EcoShock returns, we'll hear how vast new pipelines will chop up the Rocky Mountains wilderness, how dangerous tankers will sail right into the hard-fought Great Bear Rainforest, how thousands of salmon streams and major rivers will be wrecked. The whole coast of British Columbia, north to south, is being set up for the next Exxon Valdez spill, and as we'll hear next, the oil always spills. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Our theme music today is Dirty Little Secret with the All-American Rejects. We'll be right back with more on the Dirty Tar Sands.